Both Peter and Judas were following Jesus as his disciples, part of the 12, and they both witnessed the life of Jesus and felt Jesus and talked to him and ate with him, and they wandered the small area that they wandered together, and they witnessed the miracles of Jesus, when Jesus finally was murdered and left them, in some case, they felt abandoned, I'm sure, and they felt alone. But in that circumstance, they both had decisions to make. Peter was told by Jesus that before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. This is Peter who pulled out a sword and chopped off the ear of a high priest to try and protect Jesus from being taken captive. And here's Peter. Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And Judas was a troubled gentleman for most of the time that he was with Jesus. And at the very end, Judas decided to betray Jesus. He knew where Jesus went into the garden to pray on a regular basis. And so he told the ones that were looking to kill Jesus where he was going to be. But Judas didn't come along with them and find him. Judas stayed with Jesus, but he betrayed him behind the scenes. And later on, when Jesus was going through the persecution and through the scourging and the beatings and whatever else you want to call it, Peter was confronted by one of these girls that knew that Peter had been with Jesus and said, hey, you're one of the Galileans that was with Jesus. And Peter said, no, I'm not. And one time he even swore. And then the third time, as he said, I am not this man you speak of, the rooster crowed. But Peter went out and wept bitterly. See, both Judas and Peter had decisions and choices to make, and they both made choices in the moment under the pressure of whatever the circumstances that they were pressured by, to either be wholeheartedly given to Christ and die with him, although that wasn't their purpose. One of them betrayed him, but couldn't live with the consequences of that decision, Judas. So what does Judas do? He goes out and hangs himself by the neck and dies. Peter, who automatically in that moment felt that condemnation or that conviction, and he went out and he wept bitterly. But we know that Peter didn't go out and kill himself like Judas did. We know Peter went on to become one of the greatest leaders of the church that followed. Upon this rock, Peter, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. See, both of them were in a situation where they felt trapped in past mistakes. But both of them had choices to make in which direction they wanted to go from that mistake and from that point on in their lives. One chose to go and hang themselves. One wept bitterly and found forgiveness and repentance and went on to be one of the greatest leaders. See, often we become trapped in our past mistakes. And I want to, over the next, like I said, a few weeks from now, I want to talk about being trapped and how often, I don't know about you, but I get claustrophobic when I can't breathe. And I feel trapped and I get a little panicky. I remember as a child, someone sitting on top of my chest and tickling me to death. And I wanted to pee and I wanted to laugh and I couldn't breathe. And I started to panic. I literally thought I was going to die, which is kind of crazy, but that's what I felt. I felt trapped. I felt like there's no escape, and I'm sure that's as a child, and I haven't had a lot of other areas in my life where I literally felt trapped in a physical way, but I have felt trapped emotionally. I have felt trapped spiritually, and I've had to find ways to work through that entrapment to escape from it or to work my way out of it or to tear my way through it in some sense. And it's a terrifying experience to walk through feeling trapped. Some of you have been trapped in relationships. Some of you have been trapped in toxic thoughts. Some of you have been trapped in insecurity. Some of you have been trapped in your past mistakes. Some of you are trapped currently right now in the choices that you have in front of you or in your mind, the cyclic thoughts that keep going through your mind and they never end. It's relentless and you feel trapped and you can't find a way out. And so you feel anxiety rising up in you. You feel overwhelmed, and it feels like you snap like that because you feel trapped. But I know Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And even when you feel trapped, he's the only solution to our problem. But it's often through our choices that make that difference. Our past mistakes. So today I'm going to talk about past mistakes. And then we'll explore a lot of other options over the next few weeks. And what I really want you to pay attention to particularly is that we're aiming for the last Sunday night of this month as a night of victory, as a night of release from your entrapment, from your bondage, from whatever you're walking through that you want to feel freedom in or liberty from that entrapment or that sense of enclosure that you can't get away from. I want you to pray into it specifically as we explore it over the next few weeks, asking Jesus, Jesus, help me to make new choices. Help me to take a different step. Help me to repent from this direction and go the other direction as I follow you, Jesus, and I trust in you and I surrender in you. So today, trapped in our past mistakes, focusing on the bad, the mistakes, the self-pity, the regret, the sorrow, the poor decisions, and so on and so on. We perpetually live in our past automatic thoughts and behaviors and actions, how we perceive ourselves and the habitual construct or deconstruct of our own selves. Dr. Joe Dispenza, I want to bring a little science to this because I think sometimes it helps us clarify how this can actually work and what's actually going on in our minds and our bodies and our soul. So Dr. Joe Dispenza is a psychologist. He says a habit, a redundant set of automatic unconscious thoughts, behaviors, emotions that are acquired through repetition. Pretty big, bold explanation of what a habit is. A redundant set of automatic unconscious thoughts, behaviors, emotions that are acquired through repetition. How many of you, you don't have to show your hands, got up this morning and used the bathroom? Well, it's a habit. How many of you got up this morning and had that cup of coffee at almost the exact same time as you have a cup of coffee every other morning? How many of you have brushed your teeth in the same way? It's left to right. It's bottom to top. It's a habit that you're doing. It's subconscious. You don't even realize you're doing it. It's an automatic response, an automatic behavior that is formed through repetition. See, a habit is when you have done something so many times that your body knows how to do it better than your mind. Your mind's not even telling your body to do it. Your body's automatically responding to what it's been conditioned to do. Memories. Memories are an interesting thing because memories are connected. They're often connected to people. They're connected to certain events or times and places. See, if the brain is the record of the past, the moment you start your day, you are starting in the past. So as soon as you get up and you engage in automatic responses, you're already engaging in the past. Circuits or memories have an emotion attached. Emotions are the end products of past experiences. The moment you recall those memories of your problem, all of a sudden you start to begin to feel unhappy, you feel sad, you begin to re-experience that pain because you're recalling the memories of the similar problem that you're walking through. And now when you're starting to think of it, it creates an emotion. And then you start thinking about that emotion. And that emotion creates more thinking. And that thinking creates more. And it starts to create a cyclic behavioral situation that you have to somehow find your way out or claw out of it. But often we're trapped in it. So we wake up every morning beginning with thinking about our problems. Oh, I got to do this. I got 25 things to do. I've got to clean my house. My kids aren't doing their school and their homework. My car is broken down. This is the 25th fuel pump that I've put in it. My relationships are strained. My mom hasn't called me for 3 months. I better call her. I know every time I talk to her, she doesn't stop talking about all the negativity that I remember, and it starts to trigger emotions. Whatever it is that we're waking up with and all these troubles and problems that we bring to the table, as soon as we open up our eyes, boom, we're hit by the negativity and toxic thoughts. Every one of us face this in some way, shape, form, or fashion. How you think results in how you feel, which in turn creates your very state of being. Your familiar past will sooner or later become your predictable future, is what Dr. Dispenza, I'm quoting him in that particularly. Your familiar past will sooner or later become your predictable future. How you think results in how you feel, which in turn creates your state of being. And your state of being, as you all know, when you're feeling a certain way, you're feeling crappy, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling anxious, guess what? Your behavior changes. And your behavior affects others. What does the Bible say? In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, it's a famous, popular passage. And whether you're reading King James or Message or whatever it is, the principle behind it is whatever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So, if you think or believe that your thoughts have something to do with your destiny, which I do, and you can't think greater than you feel, then your feelings have become the very means of thinking. Your feelings, your soul starts to control you, the very direction of your life. The mind, will, and emotions is the handbasket. The soul is the handbasket for your mind, will, and emotions. Then your feelings have become the very means of thinking. By the very definition of emotions, you are thinking in the past. Because if those emotions are only triggered by past experiences, so when you think about how you felt because that feeling was attached to a past experience, now guess what? I'm living in the past and I'm reliving my past in the very moment that I'm living in, and it creates a cyclic problem. We're trapped in our past. For the most part, we keep recreating the same life cycle, and we wonder why we're still depressed and why we can't break out of this cycle of anxiety, depression, confusion, insecurities, doubt, fear. We technically are living in a program. When you hit bing on the computer and it does its little thing, that's us every morning. And we walk through our day like a program. We get up at the same time, we check our Facebook at the same time, our Instagram, we turn on the TV and watch the news for the same amount of time, we drink that same cup of coffee on and on, we shower, go to work. We are habitually engaging in doing life as we've always done it. That's our habitual life pattern. So what do? You have lost free will to habit and thought pattern. You have been given a free will so you can make choices. That's a God-given gift. We were talking about this last night. Sometimes we look at free will as a bit of a curse because I get to make choices to do the wrong thing. But it is a blessing. I can have free choice to snap myself out of being trapped in my past and make new decisions. By what? By the power of Christ in me, bringing restoration, renewal, revitalization in here and in here. Now, the redundancy of the subconscious brain, the subconscious program, becomes a memorized set of behaviors, hardwired attitudes, emotional actions, belief systems and perceptions. How that person looked at me, that person must not like me the way they looked at me or they talked to me, the annotations of their voices, whatever it might be, that function like a computer program. We have automatic responses at fractions of a second. Faster than light. We're perceiving and we're receiving and we're making decisions. The circuitry that happens in our brain is instantaneous. And our bodies are reacting from those emotions, from those circuitries that are firing. We run like a computer program. Control, Alt, Delete. I don't know if you remember what that was, but anyway. Reset the computer. Getting beyond the analytical mind through practice is where you get to reset your way of behaving and emoting? What are your daily practices? What are your habits? Can you stop a habit? You can stop a habit, but it takes a very intentional action and choice and decision to actually stop that habit so you can make new decisions and make new traffic in your brain, new circuitry, new firing pathways. What are your daily practices and what are they reinforcing in your life? See, a long emotional reaction over hours or days becomes a mood, as you all know. When I feel grumpy for a couple hours, it becomes a mood. By the end of the day, I'm like, why did I feel grumpy all day? Why was I sad today? I don't even know where this began, but over a couple hours, a prolonged day, over a couple days, it's now a mood. I feel like I'm in a crappy mood. Excuse my language for those that are younger. Which then, in a prolonged exposure over weeks or months, it becomes a temperament. You don't even know why you're reacting that way. It's becoming a part of you. You're entrenching in it. And over, like bitterness, for instance. I don't know why I'm angry. I'm not sure why I feel jaded towards that person, but it becomes a temperament and everything. That means the entire lens that I look through now is I'm being tempered by those feelings of anger or distrust or whatever it might be. And now I start to look at everything through that same lens because it's becoming a temperament. And if you keep that temperament for a prolonged emotional exposure for years on end, guess what? It becomes a personality trait. So your mood becomes a temperament over time, and your temperament becomes a personality trait. Do you see what kind of entrenchment that starts to cause you? That's something that you allow to set deep inside of your heart. That hurt, that fear, that doubt, that anger becomes bitterness, becomes distrust, becomes insecurity, and then becomes a personality trait where your entire world is turned upside down by that specific entrenchment of emotional experiences that your brain has rewired itself to be entrenched in. So what are you reinforcing? What are your daily practices? We condition our bodies into a state of fear through our self-protection mechanisms. You can think about something, and all of a sudden your heart starts to race. And all of a sudden your brain starts to release certain chemicals and hormones into your body to react to that stressor. And yet, there's nothing even going on. You just thought about sharkened jaws, or you thought about falling off that edge. You weren't literally falling off the edge, but it created an emotional reaction that then created a behavior, and now it's become a part of how do I react in this moment? And prolonged exposure goes on and becomes a part of your mechanisms, your survival mechanisms. Our bodies are telling us to pay attention all the time, in seconds, in thousandths of a second in some cases. Telling us to pay attention through anticipation of harm, because our focus has become entrenched in past thinking, and we're trapped in that way of thinking. We're trapped in that hurt, we're trapped in that anger, we're trapped in that angst, that depression, because it's become a part of who we are now. We're trapped. Those memories attached to emotions are secured by past experiences. I've been through this, I know this hurts, I've heard this before, I don't trust this. So guess what? Every decision I make from here on out is going to be affected by that emotion that was expressed or felt at that time that I experienced that hurt or experienced that anxiety or experienced whatever it is that I'm being affected by. It affects my very worldview. It affects how I look at the government, how I look at one another, how I look at my neighbor. You already know how it affects you in a lot of ways. That paranoia that comes out of the long-term fear exposures. Entrenched in past thinking. And now it becomes a very state of being, affecting our very worldview, our paradigms, our perceptions, our expectations, our limitations, our moods, and our personality traits. Trapped by your thoughts that are based, and your emotions that are based on past experiences. How many today could honestly say, do not raise your hands, but honestly feel in your heart that I've been trapped in my past mistakes? Because by my past mistakes, when I made a mistake and it hurt me, or it affected me, or it made me angry. That emotion that I felt secured that thought process, now becoming a very part of how I look at those around me, how I look at life in front of me, how I make choices, how I make relationships and build relationships, how I communicate, how I perceive. Trapped by our thoughts. So it's not hopeless, though. Don't feel so much despair this morning. Come on, guys. It's going to be okay. So to reteach our bodies how to rethink, because you're, again, thinking, your brain is actually affected by your entire body. So your body actually starts to do the thinking for you in these habitual responses. So how do we teach our bodies to rethink, how to act, how to behave? We teach it through practices, through engaging. This is now, as a believer, and if you're not a believer, just pay attention for a few moments. This is how we can reframe our thinking, how we can reframe our behaviors, how we can reframe how we emote and how we engage and how we think and affect others around us. But if we start through engaging in prayer first, another one is fasting. We discipline our bodies and our minds through fasting by taking something out of my life and asking God to replace it with something from Him. Sometimes you have to be intentional. It's not just so much about fasting from food, but what are you doing during that fasting time? Are you reading scripture? Are you praying? Are you feeding yourself spiritually instead of physically? That's the whole point of fasting, is replacing it with something by God or from God to reteach yourself how to think and behave and act and walk. It's a practice. It's putting your faith in praxis is what it is. It's not a legalistic way of earning favor from God. Your favor with God is justified through faith. He gives it to you for free. It's a free gift, the salvation, through faith, by grace, through Christ. We just went through 21 days of prayer and fasting. How many of you, don't put your hands up again, you can embarrass yourself if you want or not, doesn't matter, but how many of you were successful in reforming a habit out of that exercise? For 21 days, we engaged as a church in prayer and in fasting, intentionally asking God, I'm giving this to you, Jesus. Now, would you please help me and feed me and grow me and mature me? Because that's what it's all about. After you come to faith, now it's about your maturity process and growing in Christ. Because you're becoming like Christ. He's perfecting you and working in you and bringing this awesome work of righteousness in you and holiness, separation. Are your new habits reforming and reframing the way you think? The way you look at life around you? The way you experience relationships? The way you look at God? A lot of times I've heard stories, and I've actually had personal encounters with in my own life, where I've had things happened to me in a Christian setting, per se, or for someone that was of faith, and it made me question the not so much the fact that God existed, but the very essence of the character of God in the earth today. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be honest, and sometimes we question things that are sovereign. We ask God, I don't understand this. Why would you let this happen to me? Is your thoughts and emotions affecting the way you look at life around you, the way you think? And how can we reteach our bodies to rethink, to act and behave? We can by engaging in practices, and my encouragement is through spiritual practices and engaging intentionally in developing spiritual practices in your life. One of the first things is it's extremely important to get together as a body of Christ. See, the antibodies of the Holy Spirit working in you will work in you, but when you're together with the gifted body of Christ, now someone else gets to use their gifting to build up and to encourage and to help you walk in that full maturity. The body of God is not meant to be disenfranchised and separated. Don't do life alone. Don't isolate yourself. We do life together, and the power of the Holy Spirit flows through you and I and every one of you, helping one another, bringing us together, jointly fit together in a purpose. And we heal together. We learn together. See, when you go through something that I've never gone through, and I can ask, can you share your story with me? And you share your story of how God provided or healed you and did whatever miraculous event in your life. Now it encourages me and increases my faith and my trust. Hey, don't do life alone. You won't have the opportunity to hear the stories of how God's working in other people's lives that will then become a prophetic work in your life. So don't do life alone. That's the first practice. Get together with like-minded believers. The body is the unconscious mind. The body lives in the same past experiences, and these emotions influence our certain thoughts. And then those thoughts create the same emotions. Then those same emotions influence those same thoughts. But we can decide to make a different choice and choose to exit the building like Elvis. Exit the entrapment. It will be uncertain. It does feel uncomfortable. It's not the norm. You're breaking habit, and breaking habit is, if any one of you have ever have broken a habit, whether it be smoking or drinking coffee or doing drugs or whatever it might be, sometimes it's extremely painful in your bodies. But often it's very painful in our emotions and in our soul. We can decide to make a different choice, despite the uncomfort, the discomfort, as your brain, it's wiring. The neuron firings, the chemical releases, all begin to change and create new function, new circuits, and new programming. You become a new you, which lives freely from the entrapment that you are suffering from. So instead of supporting the redundancy of cycle and thought, I've used this before, stop, drop and roll, and make a new choice. Take a new step, go in a different direction, and by the power of the Holy Spirit invested in you, you can, because he already did. He did it for you. He made your way. It's just about your practices and engaging and practicing through prayer, through scripture reading, through fasting, through supplications, through worship, through prayer. It's about intentionally engaging and feeding your spirit, man, rather than your soul and your body. Make a new choice. Despite what your past tells you how to respond in this moment, stop conjuring up the worst-case scenarios like we always do, and all the fears and all the what-ifs in our minds, which then, when we think of all those things, they begin to trigger emotional responses that we think about, and then it creates more and as you can see, it's a tug-of-war between the spirit and the soul that are related to the fears that are rooted in our past mistakes. And creating cyclic behavioral responses. An entrenchment is emotions or thoughts that lend to creating the same behavior, the same thoughts, the same emotion, and creates a pattern that repeats itself. That's entrenchment. Henry David Thoreau says, never look back unless you're planning to go that way. That's some wisdom to learn from. If you want to go that way, go that way. But if you don't have to go that way, then go a different way. So never look back unless you're planning to go that way. We learned last week about Elisha. When God called him, he burned the plow. He left behind his entire livelihood, his past, his life. He went and kissed his parents goodbye and said, hey, God has called me and I'm going with God. And God provided and God gave and God blessed. It's all in. I believe. I follow. See, our bodies are amazing. And body science is an amazing thing to explore. But our bodies become chemically addicted to the response mechanisms and the chemical releases in the neurological chemicals that are releasing into our body. Whenever we fear, whenever we stress, whenever we worry, whenever we experience depression or anxiety, our body literally gets addicted to it, and you have to make a conscientious decision to stop it, stop, drop, and roll, cut that off, and say, soul, body, I'm no longer in subjection to you, but I am one with the Father. By the Holy Spirit being poured out into me, I have one in Christ now. And because he's working that perfect work in me, I can do that new decision. I can walk in that new pattern. I don't have to keep living in this trapped cycle of my past mistakes or by my worry or whatever it might be. Because your thoughts reinforce those feelings and it continues leading you down the same path. The endless cycle. Step off of the cyclic routine of being trapped by choosing, by making new choices. Resist the discomfort, if that's the way to put it, or embrace it. Let's put it that way. Embrace the discomfort. Embrace how awkward it feels to create a new habit, but intentionally engage in it. If it's 21 days of prayer and fasting again as an individual, engage in it. Engage in breaking the cycle. Engage in building new habits so that your new thought patterns, your emotions are no longer running your life running your mouth, running your thinking processes, you don't have to be entrapped by your past. Your trauma doesn't define who you are. Your past doesn't identify who you are. Your addiction, as a response to the innate need for love and affirmation, can be fulfilled in Christ. It doesn't have to define you. Even the pain in the experiences and the situations that you have been through, maybe if they were even outside of your control, we know through Christ you're made new. That doesn't have to define who you are. It's reframing my thoughts, my identity in Christ, and not in my past, secured by the emotions that through that experience that makes me who I am. But instead of tearing down the old, because often we want to go back and we want to fix it all. And sometimes you need to go back and ask for forgiveness if you were involved in creating hurt. Yes. However, you don't have the ability to reconcile relationships sometimes. You can forgive because Christ has shown you what forgiveness is. But reconciliation means that forgiveness has to come back and be reciprocated. You can't control that person's decision. So don't worry sometimes about the tearing down part of things. Worry about building the new man. I'm going to mature in my faith. I'm going to mature in who I am in Christ. I'm going to be very intentional about what steps I take to exercise the spirit man in me and feed my spirit through discipline, through practices, through actually engaging and intentionally separating myself from that old way of being and being renewed in Christ, in my new way of thinking, in my new way of emoting, in my new way of behaving. Even if you've been a Christian for 25 years, today's your day. Stop it right now. Make a new decision. Make a new choice. I'm leaving behind this old way of thinking, and I'm being renewed in Christ, restored, renewed, revitalized, refreshed. I am a new person, a new creation in Christ. Grow into being a fearless soul. I'm not afraid to take on this challenge. I'm not afraid to take on this new journey of something new and form new habits in Christ. I'm going to be fearless in how I pursue Christ. I'm going to burn the plow. I'm going to be all in. I'm leaving behind everything. All this that I think identifies me as who I am doesn't. Why? Because I'm a creation in Christ. I belong to Him. I'm a child of God. And that's how I'm identified, is in Him. A new focus. Focus on the new that Christ defines you by. Get in the scripture and read the scripture over yourself. Let the regeneration and the renewing and the washing of your mind take place through scripture and through prayer and through fasting and through worship and praise. Let the new you thrive instead of survive through your mechanisms of survival mechanisms in your body. Free from the entrapment of past mistakes in Christ, I am more than the lump sum of my past. Invest now into your future. Our battle cry at the beginning of this year, do you remember what it is? Our battle cry this year is pray first. In every situation, in every circumstance, in every thought that starts to cyclic in your mind, every emotion that seems to come from, I don't know where it came from, pray first. Teach your spirit man to grow in Christ by engaging in new practices and new habits. Pray first. Take directional leadership in your body, in your soul, and in your mind. Take charge. You have the ability to make a new choice today. You can do it because He already did. 2 Corinthians 10. Am I almost done? I think I'm almost done. I'm a little bit longer today. I apologize for you. So much information here. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's look at some scripture. And verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war." So we're walking in this natural tent called the body, the flesh. "We are not waging war according to the flesh, though we don't fight each other with fists and weapons of warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ." In Christ, we have such a hope and such an empowerment through the Holy Spirit, that ensures that I do not have to repeat my past mistakes. I do not have to repeat being the old me. I am a new creation. I can take that very thought captive and make it obedient unto Christ, because I know that I'm a new man, that I'm a new creation, that I belong to Christ, that I am made new. I am refreshed. I'm renewed, and on and on. And that hope ensures that I do not repeat the past, because I don't have to live in the past. I have a new hope in Christ, a hope that leverages my faith. Hebrews 11, we know, is another famous passage that says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the full confidence, the conviction of things not seen. The same things that are the object of our hope become the very object of our faith. So if you put your hope in Christ and you put your faith in Christ, that's how you find refreshing and renewal and revitalization, is by forgetting my past mistakes and moving on in Christ, knowing that I re-identify in him because I'm a new creation, I'm a new person, I have a new heart. He took that stony heart out of me and gave me a heart of flesh, soft, and writes his law, writes his scripture, writes on my heart. Are you living in a state of hopelessness as you feel entrapped by those past mistakes? One of the indications that you're living outside of hope is feeling trapped, behaving in the same way I've always behaved. I'm on a cycle. I'm entrenched. My hope is not in Christ. My hope is in my own ability to work myself out of it. So what do? I worry, I depress, I'm anxious, and I think, and I think, and I think, and I just can't stop thinking, and I can't shake how I'm feeling. Hey, you don't have to stop. Stop, 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 stop. Your only hope is in Christ. And when you put your hope in Christ, that hope will leverage your faith, and that faith shall make you whole. You will find healing in where your hope is at. You won't find healing in yourself. You won't even find healing sometimes in medication. It's through your hope and your faith. Now, don't stop taking your meds just because I said that too. You might need those. Choose. Make a choice today to live in hope. It predestines your faith. You need it. If you feel hopeless today, let's pray for you. Let's agree in prayer that God will restore hope in you, that God will restore your identity, renew your mind, and refresh your understanding of who you are in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, then today's the day. Let's start all over and say, God, I want to be in Christ. I want you to become one with me. Forgive me for my past thinking. I want to be one with you as you come. Now, Holy Spirit, come and fill me up and let me live in unity with you, Father. Christ, see, he's not in the habit of leaving you abandoned to your own demise. Through the helper of the Holy Spirit, he gives us strength to make new choices. I can do all things in Christ. In Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So you can go push weights all you want to try and bust out of depression, and it's just going to come back tomorrow morning. You find your hope in Christ, who strengthens you. How? Through the Holy Spirit. And when my hope starts to rise up, my faith begins to grow and is leveraged. And now I start to understand who I really am in Christ. I'm not designed to live like this or like that. I live in Christ. See, energy goes where you focus. You can't move forward by focusing on the past. If you're looking back over the field you just plowed, Scripture talks about not being worthy of the kingdom of heaven by living in that way. And the reason why is because when you live looking over the past, you're looking at how you do it and how you've done, rather than looking at Jesus, trusting that he's leading you regardless of what's going on back here. My faith is leveraged by my hope. My focus is where I end up going. It's where I lead. It's where I walk. It's who I'm focusing on. Let it be on Jesus. Stop letting the enemy prevent you from walking in your gifts and your calling, your design, your purpose, because of your past mistakes. Don't let the past mistakes swallow up your way of thinking, your way of behaving, your very world view and your paradigm. Hey, we're going to pray today that the Holy Spirit comes and awakens our senses to where we're standing in Christ. that he will show us and reveal to us where our hopes are, where our strategies are, where our focuses are, and then can refresh our way of thinking, renew our minds, and strengthen us by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, allowing our faith to grow in Christ. Some of you are living defined by your past mistakes rather than what God has called you to walk in. Hey, your past mistakes do not define who you are. Your past, let's put it this way, boldly even, your past mistakes don't disqualify you. Your past mistakes don't make you incompetent. Your past mistakes is exactly that. It was a past mistake. But who you are in Christ can define who you are. Where you put your hope, where you put your focus is where you go and as your faith grows. Don't be trapped in your past mistakes. You must know who you are, but you also must know where you are. If you're trying to go somewhere and use a map, you can't figure out how to get there if you don't know where you're at. You have to pinpoint where you're at before you can actually make a chart your route to go where you're going. So know where you are today. Ask God, show me where I am today, Jesus, in my hope and in my faith. Am I trapped in my past mistakes? Good. Okay, God. Thank you for showing me that. Now, forgive me for my stinking thinking. And may hope arise in me right now, Jesus, that it leverages my faith to trust you first off, knowing that you are leading me, that you are guiding me. I don't have to worry about what I think defined me in my past. Let's continue on. If you are trapped in your past mistakes, your mind, your thoughts can be taken captive and held in submission or obedience unto God. Paul admonishes us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. Here are some keys for you as you intentionally engage in reframing your thoughts. Verse 16 says, here's where we begin. We can practice this, maybe not today, but tomorrow. Rejoice always. 17, pray without ceasing. Pray first is our war cry this year. 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. See, Jesus has a mental health plan for you. He knows exactly what we need. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks. He moves on. Don't quench the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life and to talk to you and to reveal to you where you are not thinking correctly. Do not despise prophecies. And sometimes we have the opportunity of hearing prophecies when God speaks through his body and encourages and builds up and rebukes and reproofs. We need it. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain. Here's another key. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our eyes can be on Jesus. Our focus can be on the future where God is leading us and guiding us rather than being trapped by our past mistakes. Put your choices into practice. Stop making excuses for this is the way I was meant to be, this is the way I've always been, this is the way my mom was, so I genetically inherited. No, stop it. Just stop. You are a new creation in Christ. Don't let your past define you. Don't let your past mistakes identify who you are. Make a new choice, choosing joy, refocusing your mind through prayer, choosing gratitude. It will always move you forward and leverage you from our stinking thinking. Focus will exclude what you are not focusing on. All right? Focus will exclude what you're not focusing on. So if you're focusing on your past, then guess what? That's all you're going to see is your past. But if you're focusing on Jesus, you will automatically exclude what's not being focused on. Choose joy. Choose gratitude. Love, peace, joy. Take note of a smile from a stranger when someone opens a door. You can find ways to find joy in your life in the simplest forms. By opening our eyes and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us and show us, reveal to us, the very flower, the air in my lungs. I'm a living miracle. Every breath I take, everything I see, everything I feel, I'm alive. I can cherish the very life I live with the focus on who I am and what I am intended for in Jesus, in Christ. See how beautifully we are created.